This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tuesdays with Elliot is here. Elliot Shore Parks. What's that? Oh, wait. Hold on.
Well, I said he's such a troublemaker.
Oh, Elliot?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you see it in his face also when he does it.
I mean, look, I went from doing like 80 hours of work a day to I'm just chilling. This is
yeah,
like,
you got
so,
nothing
oh,
to do with tweet.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
exactly.
All you're doing
yeah.
is tweeting, man.
I'm energized. I got all types of stuff I want to say.
Well, I was going to ask you that before we get into it. And by the way, we have Elliot here every Tuesday at 3 for a full hour. What is it? So you have a... Like, you basically have a cadence to your week when the Eagles are happening, right? You know what you do every certain day. You know what you're looking forward to. You know what you're back on. What is it like to go into this point? Are you just on to the next, okay, I'm going to follow the offensive coordinator thing, then we'll get into free agency. Is that how
Well, you're definitely right. Like, I mean, I'm sure all of us felt this way. For 6 weeks, 7 weeks, it was we all knew coming and work exactly what we were going to talk about. And so there's that difference. But, I mean, the thing about the Super Bowl is it goes so far into the offseason that I'm leaving for the combine in like a week. So I'm already looking at free agency. I'm sure we'll talk about it, but just what guys will get paid. I'm excited to dig into the draft. I think it's going to be a big draft this year because I don't think they'll be active in free agency. So I think a lot of the new players that will contribute next year will come into the draft. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just turning the page right away.
And from we were just talking about this from a free agency standpoint. I find the NFL salary cap to be confusing. Not confusing in that it is a hard cap. So you see what the number is, but it's very hard to figure out for a normal person.
It's a very loose cap because you can really manipulate it in a ton of different ways.
Yeah, you can manipulate it most notably in what the player is costing against that year by pushing money off to other years. It would be fair to say, though, they can't afford to keep all of the big four of the free agents, right?
Correct. So, actually, good timing because I just published in the Go Birds feed a half-hour breakdown in detail of their cap situation.
Oh, I wish that was there this morning.
There you go. It'll be a few for your walk tomorrow.
Okay.
So, this is one of the tightest salary cap situations I can remember the Eagles having. So they have somewhere between 18 to 20 million in salary cap space, which sounds like a lot, but they normally like to keep around 10 million for the following season to have through the year. And you have to pay your draft class. So that's $3-4 million. So a decent chunk of that is somewhat already spoken for. So when you talk about Mekhi Becton, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, Zach Bond, I think they'll keep one of them. I think they'll re-sign Zach Bond. The other three, I think Milton Williams is probably gone. I think Josh Sweat's definitely gone. And Mekhi Becton, maybe if the market isn't what they think, because I know they like him. But I think they're entering this offseason thinking they're going to get a lot of compensatory picks next year.
Because of these free agents.
Because they're going to lose. Josh Sweat will get paid. Milton Williams will get paid. And I think Mekhi Becton will get paid. So if those three all get big deals and you yourself don't sign a big deal, you then get... I think will likely be third-round picks. So if you let those three guys walk, you're getting third-round picks in 2026 for them, in my opinion.
Okay. So there's no world in which they're keeping all of these guys?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No.
And there's probably no world in which they're keeping two. Maybe two is the max, I
think.
I would say two is the max.
Especially
if one of them is Bond, because that number is not as high.
I think Bond is emotionally very, like, people are super in on him. I think financially, it's not going to be a big deal. If you look, so I think you can argue Zach Bond was the best linebacker in the NFL this year, right? Like,
you could.
Right?
Yep.
But he is not going to get paid like the best linebacker. If you look at him, so he's 28 now, he'll be 29 in December. Of the top 10 linebackers' contracts in the NFL right now, only one of them is above 28. Of the top five, all of them are like 24 and 25 years old. So while I think you could definitely sit here and say he was just as good as Fred Warner and Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, he's not going to get paid like them. So the Zach Bond deal, to me, it'll be a big raise for him. Like, if, and he's earned it and he deserves it. But for the Eagles, like, I don't think that'll be viewed as a big contract.
Right, so you're probably talking about a guarantee around $30 million,
no,
right?
Not even that much? No, I think he'll get $15 million, something like
guaranteed.
That. Guaranteed.
Really?
I think his deal,
wow.
I think his deal will be something like 3 years, $30 million, with a lot of that $30 million in the third year. And the first 2 years, that'll be
20.
Where the guaranteed money is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now, maybe he gets 18. Maybe.
But I mean,
like,
he probably makes about 20 in those first 2 years.
Yeah, I think he'll get the guaranteed money and then a few million on top of that from being here for 2 years. But, and again, awesome year, deserves all of it. But he'll be 29 in December. He has 1 year of really good play.
Yeah.
I just, linebackers don't get paid if you're old. So, and he's old for that position, according to the top paid guys.
And the Eagles do have a ceiling as to what they're going to pay a linebacker.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They always have.
Yeah.
And
but
it's worked out for them generally when they do that.
I just think we view it as like, will they pay Zach Bond all this money? I don't think Zach Bond is going to get a ton of money. Now, to Ike's point, will they go to $9 million a year for him? I think they will, just because $15 million guaranteed, which is what I think he'll get, is not that much guaranteed. If you spread it out over 5 years, you're talking about a salary cap hit of like $4 million. So it's not a huge commitment to him.
Is there a year coming up where that they have their pay the Piper year, where they've push money?
So in 2026, so the following season, they have $36 million in salary cap space currently.
Okay.
So that number will shrink, because when you pay people the way the Eagles do, you'll sign them in 2025, and then you push a lot of that into 26, 27, 28. But the way they currently do it, there is not a paid the Piper year. The only year they've ever been hurt by the way they do it was the COVID year. And that was obviously unpredictable, right? Like, you didn't see that coming. But the way they pay these people and the way they're able to do it is Jeffrey Lurie writes big signing bonus checks, and then they stretch it out over like 5-6 years. So there was a good piece from Albert Breer yesterday. If you look at the Eagles' top 12 players, their average salary equals out to like $215 million. That's what they should count against the cap. They cost like $105 million.
Because of all the upfront money they spend.
Because of all the, and that's Lurie. That's Lurie cutting big checks. That's how they do it.
Yeah, Howie deserves credit for what he does.
For sure.
But we've mentioned this a bunch of times. It's really about Lurie being willing to put money up front.
Put that money up there.
Yep. And then, well, that's why you sell that 8%, right? Get a little more cash in the pocket.
It's funny, the story by Albert Breer, who has a Boston connection, I thought read a little bit like, man, look what a great owner this guy is. He's a culture builder. Look at all the resources he puts in. Like, if I was selling the Celtics and I read that, I'd be like, this guy seems like a pretty good guy to sell it to.
Oh, so you think, even though he denied it. He said you'd always be interested, but he said he wasn't going to buy the Celtics.
Right.
I pretty much know he was interested in buying the Celtics.
Maybe he won't get them, but I think
Do you think he's still in on trying to buy them?
I think he has interest, yeah.
Okay.
It's his childhood team. He flies like half the roster there every year to watch the games. Like, and by the way, I think it's fine if he buys the Celtics, just like I think it's fine Josh Harris owns Washington.
And,
like,
you think,
and I'll be curious to see what people say, because I heard a lot of like, well, Jeffrey would never do that. He's invested, unlike Josh Harris, right?
Well, it wouldn't be a problem until the Eagles aren't having a good year and the Celtics are.
Well,
that's when it would be a problem.
Well, here's the other thing. The Sixers aren't going to be challenging the Celtics for the title anytime soon.
No, probably not anytime soon.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think the one, and it's almost an unfortunate reality, like, Josh Harris can own multiple teams because he's not at the facility every day.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many days I go to Eagles practice, week 7, 8, 9, and Jeffrey's car is in his spot. Like, he is there a lot. So if he were to buy the Celtics, and I know this is off track, I'd just be curious to see how he would juggle it.
It's called a private jet.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But I mean, Josh Harris is kind of an absentee owner anyway, so it's not a huge deal. Like, Jeffrey Lurie is very involved. If he were to buy the Celtics, I would think that he would want to be very involved there.
I totally agree with you.
And the other thing he has to worry about, if he were to buy the Celtics, by the way, not from an Eagles standpoint, they next year, the Celtics, and for the next 3 years or whatever, are going to have the most monstrous
luxury
tax bill in NBA history. Whoever buys the team is going to have to decide whether they're willing.
You think that makes it a less attractive buy?
Well, not
you understand that more than I do.
Not less attractive. It just, you know, these guys do like making money and don't like spending tons and tons and tons of money. So the NBA is not like the NFL in that way, it's a monstrous bill.
Yes.
It is a monstrous bill. One other free agent thing. I just worry, I understand why Bond would be the most likely to come back. And Bond was definitely the second best player on the defense, maybe the best, Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, whatever.
Yeah.
The reason that Josh Sweat ends up being the number one guy to me is that I just don't see I don't see where the Josh Sweat thing, I don't see who is playing
there.
Edge
rusher.
Right, who the edge rusher is, especially if you don't have money to go replace. And I think that becomes very, very difficult for me. Yes, you can count on Nolan Smith, but I'm not ready to say that Jalix Hunt is playing 80% of the snaps next year. And I think if BG is gone too, that's a pretty big hole to fill, especially for a defensive line where I think you could argue that of every part of their team this year, defensive line was the only one that you look at and you go, well, aside from Jalen Carter, there's no game changer out there.
Yeah,
yet.
I mean, you hope Nolan Smith turns into that. I think he's on his way to becoming that. You have to hope that's what he is.
First round pick. They're going to give him a shot to do it.
Yeah. Now, I really like Jalix Hunt. I agree with you. I wouldn't love the idea of Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt being your starters next year. If you were a mid-table team, like mid of pack or whatever, then yeah, I could see it. But if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you can't go into Jalix Hunt.
What do you mean? We got Bryce Huff.
Well, that's I think Bryce Huff will be back. Barring him,
you got to give him another shot at this.
They didn't give him a shot at this.
They gave him a shot to begin.
He wasn't even on the field all year.
He was on the field for the first half of the year.
Training camp?
Yeah.
I can't believe you're doing this.
No, I'm not getting back into the Bryce Huff.
He had zero. What, did he have one pressure this year?
I think it's pretty clear Vic Fangio decided he couldn't play and that was it. It's not like he got 10 weeks of 80% snaps and let's see if it works out.
We couldn't afford that.
Dude.
I agree.
Think of this, though.
But I don't think they're going to play him next year is the point I'm making.
Okay. I'm just saying he's still on the roster.
Think about this.
He's there.
He was there at the Super Bowl,
Brandon was playing, 40% of the snaps?
Yes.
Yeah.
Still, you saw moments where you're like, Brandon changed the game there.
Right.
Bryce Huff. I remember one play, he got half a sack, and I think he was gifted the half sack.
I agree with you. Bryce Huff was a disappointment.
Okay.
But to the edge thing, I'm just saying, they didn't really give him a shot, but whatever. We can move on.
He got a shot.
Yeah, he got a little bit of a shot. Not a $35 million shot, I can tell you that much. Yeah.
He got a $35 million check, and he gave a $1 million.
He probably expected to be able to play after
he
picking the Eagles.
He did play, though. He did play.
If I was a defensive free agent, I'd be a little... I'd be a little weary.
You'd be a little weary. Zach Bond came here, had this best year of his career. Milton Williams had the best year of his career.
He wasn't a free agent.
Josh Sweat had one of the best years of his career.
Also not a free agent.
But
what I'm saying is, Devin White and Bryce Huff elected to come here.
Yes.
Right.
And they were, in my opinion, not given chances to...
Oh, Devin White deserved to play.
He was a starter all training camp. And then all of a sudden,
he got benched last year.
Well, we'll never know. I saw him in training camp, and I thought he looked fine. If you give him a chance in a real game, we could have found out.
We roll with you on your QB stats. Well, stay away from the defense.
Talk about an all-time victory lap for the QB stats.
Not doing that here.
He won Super Bowl MVP.
He did.
Think they'll ever be more validated.
After he threw about eight passes a game. But why don't we...
Franchise record.
We'll get to it. Franchise record that he said. And you've only been keeping training camp stats for 11 years.
Else has a better year, tell me. But that is the most the franchise record. I didn't see anyone dispute it.
215-592-9490. So what do you expect out of Hurts next year? So do you would not expect him to have I'm actually just asking you, what sort of year? Because my guess would be it wouldn't be similar to this year. What do you expect out of Jalen next year?
I truly think if I could buy stock in a player, I would buy it in Jalen. I think the Super Bowl win is going to catapult this guy to the next level.
Elite?
Now, well, you already have him as the second best quarterback in the NFL.
He is the second best quarterback
in the
NFL.
What level is there?
Ooh, I didn't know you put that ranking out there.
Yeah,
there you go, E. Hey,
I said before the Super Bowl, if he wins, that he should be number two.
Okay.
Like, so when he won.
This is when you were telling me the other guy was better and they were going to win.
By the way, I think that's been, well, I was wrong about that. But I've been proven correct that it is the next best rival.
Hold on, but you did say if they won, regardless of how he plays,
yes,
he was number two.
Because winning Super Bowls matters.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but
regardless of how he played, though.
How many Super Bowls did Josh Allen have, Spike?
None.
How many does Dan Marino have?
See,
how many does Dan Marino
have? Does
Joe
Burrow have a Super Bowl,
Spike? How many does Dan Marino have?
But Dan,
is Dan Marino a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts?
Probably.
Is he or is he not?
I just said, yeah. I said probably.
No?
What do you want me to say?
Is he or is he not?
Whose career do you think Dan Marino would rather
have? That's not the ranking. The ranking isn't which career you'd like to have. The ranking is who's better.
But I think the ranking should indicate, like, who would, like, Jalen has the second best resume of any quarterback in the NFL.
Was Jim Plunkett the second best quarterback in the
I
NFL?
I don't care about Jim Plunkett.
He's a two-time Super Bowl winner.
Yes, he won two Super Bowls.
But regardless.
Was Joe Flacco the second best quarterback in the NFL?
I'd have to go back at the rankings at that point.
Probably not, though, right?
But like Mahomes, I mean, if we want to do this, but like Mahomes is number one because he is arguably the best, but also because he has Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like that's why he is not, that's why we never say, well, maybe it should be Josh Allen. Like,
and he played well.
And so did Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so what do you, instead of dancing around, what do you expect out of him next year?
Yeah, I think Jalen is going to be awesome next year. I don't know how you want me to like quantify this. Like I think he will be an MVP candidate.
MVP candidate.
I think he will be without question a top five quarterback. Like, I think we will see the best year of Jalen's career next year.
Okay. So, more games, you would assume we will see more games like we saw in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
So, I think you could, but I don't need to see that to validate what I think will be the top five quarterback.
Like, could have the 29th best pass offense next year, and he would still be the second best quarterback.
To me.
Like, well, I'll tell you who it does matter to.
And, well, the guys catching the ball.
yeah, I agree with that.
Well, also, you're probably not going to have the same Saquon.
Probably not.
Next year.
I would agree with that.
You know, so
yeah, I think
you would agree. They can't have a 29th
I think he will. Yeah,
offense,
obviously.
Yes.
But the point I'm making is, when I judge Jalen,
he's a top 10
year,
passing.
It's not going to be like when I think of Jalen playing awesome in the Super Bowl. It wasn't because he had X amount of yards. It was just when he threw it. He only threw it 22 times, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, but
like,
you could tell when you were watching.
Jordan Aikman.
Yeah. But I'm saying if he's only throwing it 22 times, they're not going to be like a top 10 passing offense.
No.
In fact, I think if you look at most top 10 passing offenses, they're all bad teams.
Well, that's not true.
I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
I'm wrong.
Well, but I'm
saying teams that throw it a lot are traditionally
a lot, usually,
behind.
Yes, yeah. That's what he's saying.
Behind a lot.
Correct,
yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think it, yes.
Like, I don't think the Ravens' passing offense was much different than the Eagles.
Well, yeah, well, he threw 44 touchdown passes.
He did. That mattered. I'm just saying, I think the Ravens' passing offense is low
down
as well.
No, I agree. When you look at the Bills' offense.
I'll have to look it up.
And I mentioned this to Ike.
He's the best. He's the best.
When you talk about.
I'll give it to you. That was good.
Josh Allen's numbers were not like Joe Burrow numbers. They were more like, when you looked at the games, they were more like the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
Right. I think he goes back to 2022.
I would love that.
That's why I think he goes back to being that quarterback.
But do you think there's a big difference between 2022 and 2024?
Yes.
Well, passing wise, it was.
Yeah, he threw it more for sure. But like,
not just more, but better.
He threw it better, yeah.
Agreed. But this year, there were a lot of examples of him throwing it at a high level. It's not like there was two games.
Right.
Like, there were the Bengals. Like the Bengals game, he threw it really good against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He threw it really good in the championship game. He threw it really good in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's four out of
20. He had like that 5 or 6 week stretch where it was.
I mean, I have to go through every one. But I'm saying, like, I think he threw it at a higher level than you're saying.
We all agree it can be better.
Yes, it can be better, but I don't need it to be better for me to feel validated in saying he's the second best quarterback.
I'm with you on that.
Like, don't turn it over, win games, make plays on third down. Like, that's what I care about.
Well, yeah, but I just feel like this is sort of, this is like faulty logic or whatever.
No, because you're saying you need to see more from him.
No, I don't need to
see more.
Well, why not?
Because he's already one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, would I like to? Are there things he could improve on? Yes, but he is already, without question.
We're already agreeing that Saquon is not going to do what he did next year.
Probably not.
Can we just agree for the sake of argument?
But
he's going to have to do more.
No, but Saquon could not rush for 2,000 yards, but if he rushes for 1,600, that's still a huge part of the offense. So you're right. I don't think they're going to get 2,000 from Saquon again. But I'd be pretty surprised if Saquon had like 1,100 yards next year.
Well,
barring injury, which of course is part of it.
Yeah, I would say the historical data on backs who touch the ball 400 times, they do the next year is not great.
Yes.
Is not great.
With that.
And he's certainly more likely to get injured having the completely injury free year.
Knock on wood.
So, yes.
Where I definitely agree. I definitely agree with you. Like,
somebody call Blue Chew.
Yeah. They should make a red, white, and blue Chew, by the way.
Oh.
I thought of that during the read.
Yeah. Red, white, and Blue Chew?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I will salute that.
Let's all salute. But
you have our... Remind us of that in July, buddy.
I'll try. I guess what I'm saying is, I agree with you that he can definitely improve, like, without question. But where I think me and you take different paths is, I am fine if I get the same version of Jalen for the most part next year as this year. Of course, there's games he could be better, but like what I value in a quarterback, and I have, is not just a Jalen thing. Me and Ike have argued about this. Like winning games, not turning the ball over, third down. Like those are the things I really care about.
But my point would be, and I don't think we're as far away as you think. It's just this part you're not willing to concede is that
correct
to win games. If you don't have a legendary rusher and the number one defense, which they're most likely not to have next year, you're probably going to have to throw the ball more effectively. And
yes, I would agree with that.
And in those two games, and this is what I see. This is why I'm more positive on him than you would expect, especially looking forward.
Right.
Is that the offense that I dream of is the offense that dropped 55 and then 33, 40, whatever it was, the next game, is we can put together the sort of team that is not nervous in the fourth quarter. Like we can have a season where we are operating at peak level on both sides of the football without putting that stress on Saquon and putting that stress on the
defense.
So I do
agree with you. I mean, obviously, I think it's a pretty high ceiling that you're placing.
Yeah.
You know, like not to be nervous in the fourth quarter. Like most games in the NFL are one score games. So that's not just an Eagles thing. But I do agree with you. Like there is and that's why I said I would buy stock in them. I think there's another level Jalen can go to.
Mm-hmm.
But I have already seen enough for me to feel very confident that he's a top five quarterback, and I would put him number two. So that's, I think, where we're a little different.
Yeah, I would say that top five is within reach to me, and I did not think it was in reach 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I would say that it is in reach. I could see a world where that's happening, but if it is...
It's the current world.
But if it's...
I'm kidding. Okay.
But if it's more of what we saw this year, then I felt like the team was running from him being that instead of leaning into him being that. And it is not 35 passes a game. It's really 24 to 28. Yeah. I really don't think it's them calling very many more pass plays.
I think it's a little more of a mixture. I do agree with you that they moved away from the passing game because he was struggling early in the year, for sure.
Wow.
But we also have to admit, like, they did have arguably the best rushing attack of all time. So it's not like they were like, all right, well, let's go with Wendell Smallwood. Like, they had something to lean to, I think, made it easier to move.
That was actually a thing at some point.
I know.
Remember
that.
Wendell Smallwood?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I was saying Carson
Jamal
wasn't
Adams,
winning.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like...
Was it Josh Adams? Jamal Adams?
No, it was Josh.
Josh Adams.
The guy that led the league in... not the league, the team.
It's like the Odubel Herrera, Michael Franco era of the Phillies. Yeah. It's like, that's what we have to look forward to. Well, Elliot, it's always great to be blessed with your presence for a full hour.
Wow.
And I'm excited to go hear the entire cap breakdown on the Go Birds podcast.
Thank you.
Which comes out 5 days a week. It's normally there when you wake up, but apparently it wasn't today.
Well, no, there was one at 4 a.m. This is a bonus one.
Whoa.
Just because I wanted to spend more time talking about
it. Okay. All right. Okay. So
I got all the time in the world now.
Just take a chill pill.
Podcast your ass
off. Yeah, well, take a chill pill from Twitter.
I haven't been tweeting that much.
Oh, it's a lot.
Oh, have I been?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I actually had a question for you guys. We didn't get to it.
Oh.
Can I just ask it and you can mull it over?
Sure.
Is Hurts the coolest athlete we've had in the city since Iverson?
All right, coming up next is Devin Caney is in Clearwater.
The coolest.
Jordan athlete, Super Bowl MVP.
No,
I can't think of
love Hurts.
The mic.
Cigars.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. Come on, man.
The hats.
Oh. Hats.
Face of Jordan?
With the berets, I don't
actually,
know
actually, now that you remind me about the Twitter thing, is he posted the 10-second video of Jalen Hurts walking on a field, and he's like, this is the coolest video in Philadelphia sports history.
You describe it as a 10-second video, but it's him winning the Super Bowl walking.
Meanwhile, we have the Brad Lidge on his knees.
That's not a cool video. That's a cool play.
All right. It's not a play. It's
whatever. It's a owl.
All right.
Whatever you want to call it.
Get out of here. I'm not going to plug your pod anymore. Devin Caney is in Clearwater. We'll get to your calls. 215-592-9494. We had so much to argue with Elliot about.
Yes.
Pitchers and catchers have reported. The rest of the players have reported. Philly spring training is on its way. We have our first game on Saturday.
How about that?
I think it'll be on WIP. Down there to take it all in is one Scoops, Devin Scoops Caney. Scoops, you there?
I'm here. Hey, guys.
What's up, DK?
Not much. Sorry, the Scoops introduction just doesn't hit the same without a Jackie Baseball there to bring me in, especially talking about the Phils. So.
Well, he decided not to come into work this week, Scoops. You know, so.
And I hope he has FOMO because here we are finally talking about the Phillies, whether listeners are ready to hear about it or not. I know we're still basking in the Eagles' glory.
Yeah, we can do both.
But we got to talk about it, okay?
Yeah, well, truthfully, he hates when anybody talks about the Phillies except for him.
Except for him.
So I don't think he's missing it too much. So, and by the way, so you can make us all jealous because it is, I think, like 20 some degrees today. What's it like in Clearwater right now?
Oh, it's really rough out here. It's like sunny and 75, 80 degrees today. I had to wear a sweatshirt this morning. It was brutal.
Oh, sounds terrible. Sounds terrible. Well, what's the vibe like? What's the mood like? I think when we were down there last year, we could, it was loose and they were having fun, but there was certainly a sense of determination. They knew what their goal was. What is the vibe like with the players there this year?
So I don't want people to read into this when I say it's not loose, because I think you also have to take into consideration what time of spring training it is. So like you just mentioned, Spike, all players just reported yesterday. So I think they're all still getting their bearings. They all seem extremely locked in and focused. I haven't seen, you know, a ton of, you know, the loose partying Phillies, because I think that they all are on the same mission this season, and especially this spring training. I actually asked Rob Thomson about it earlier today, you know, just what the general team mindset was, not necessarily what he and the coaches are saying to them, but what he's feeling from the players. And he said, you know, you really just have to reel them in a bit because they're obviously jaded from the way that the postseason ended the last several seasons, and they're hungry to get back at it, but you have to make sure that they don't expel too much before the end of the season, because it's a really long season. He brought up last year specifically, he said by early spring, you know, a lot of these guys were gassed, we saw injuries, so we just want to keep them healthy. So I think right now it's a balance. Like, they know the mission, they're confident in themselves, they know that they have the talent to contend again, but they're just trying to not get ahead of themselves. They're very locked in and focused.
That's interesting. You know, especially coming off of last, you know, last year they had just lost in six games to the, seven? To Arizona. I can't remember. Not this past year.
It was seven, right?
It was seven games to Arizona. And so it seemed like their mantra at spring training was all about getting to the World Series. Like, they were so focused on it. I remember John Middleton speaking to the team prior to that and talking about how he so desperately wanted that World Series trophy. And it's they bought into that, Devin and Spike, and they got out to a great start. I mean, they came out smoking. So I bring that up to say I'm wondering if they realize how long the season is, and it's not that they don't want to get off to a fast start, but they also realize it's a marathon and not a sprint, because they got off to a great start last year, and it didn't really help them in the end.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that can work to their benefit. It's almost similar to the Eagles, where I feel like maybe it's all Philadelphia teams almost thrive as kind of this underdog who people are counting out in a way. And they didn't have that last season. You know, last season, the messaging was clear from the start, from the top down, like Ike, you just mentioned, from John Middleton, you know, World Series or bust. I don't think I've heard a single player say the words World Series since I've been down here, and like have been talking to quite a few players. No one has mentioned it. It's just, you know, we know how good we can be. We're not worried about all the offseason pickups that other teams in the National League have made, like the Dodgers and the Mets. We know that we can compete with them. And Bryce Harper even had something, don't quote me here, but he basically said, like, we're aware of the talent that was picked up around us, but we have full confidence. Like, that just drives us more in a way. So almost similar to the Eagles' mindset of, like, count us out and we're going to prove you wrong. And I think that they can thrive under that type of, or lack of pressure, I should say.
Well, thank God Topper's there to make sure they don't try too hard. Devin Caney with us from Clearwater. He's always there to make sure everybody's relaxed. That's me, not you. Don't worry. That's me. It does seem like for the first time that we have some players willing to be flexible in what positions they may play this year, a couple of guys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so some interesting potential swaps going on. So one that is actively happening through spring training is Kyle Schwarber is practicing just a few days a week, and he will practice a few days a week at first base. And I think that is more so about Bryce Harper getting potentially more rest days than he got last season, than, you know, Kyle Schwarber moving around. And JT Realmuto. So this isn't certain. I have some thoughts on this, but it was, you know, confirmed. Topper talked about it. JT talked about it, about him potentially playing some games in left field to give him a break behind the plate, because we know, you know, he had knee surgery last year. He's getting a little older. I also think his upcoming contract could have something to do with it. You know, Rob Thompson and the Phillies are very aware of the position that these guys like Schwarber and JT are in, where they need to prove themselves. You know, they want to stay in Philadelphia, but you also have to do what's best for them as players as they get older. I don't know about the JT to left field, though. I would think, if anything, they'd put Sosa out there. I haven't seen him practice at left field. He's been catching the days that I've been down here, but look, anything's possible, and he seemed open to it. He said if it would help the team, I'll do whatever they ask.
If I'll get an extension, I will play wherever they tell me to.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, $50 more million, and I will play wherever you want. Topper did mention too potentially splitting up Nola and Wheeler in the rotation as well, which I thought was an interesting little nugget too.
Yeah, no, that is he kind of touched on that, but he's also not really diving deep into the starting rotation just yet, because he's been asked about that every time we've asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, like, we'll see. But I would imagine that he would split them up, whether it's Wheeler 1 and then Sanchez 2 and then Luzardo. I don't know what direction they're going to go in. But Nola hasn't been at camp the last few days.
He's been sick,
I believe,
right?
He's the only one of the starting rotation who hasn't been there. Yes, because he has food poisoning or the flu or some sort of bug. So we haven't seen him or Trey Turner yet.
All right, Scoops, are you going to be down there when we're down there in a couple of weeks? Or are you just straight through, or are you coming back? What's the deal?
No, I'm coming back. So I'm here this week. I'm here until tomorrow, and then I'm off. But hopefully I can come back in a couple weeks or next month to revisit and to get to hang with you guys. I don't know. Rod Lakin, are you listening?
Welcome, Lakin. She's always welcome. And thank you for bringing us a Super Bowl as well. Great job on the sideline this year.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, there she is. Devin Scoops Caney. Thank you, Scoops.
There you go.
Couple of things on the information she gave us there.
Yes.
The JT Realmuto giving his knees a break and playing left field.
Yeah, explain that one to me.
All right, so if left field is a break, someone explain to me why Bryce Harper couldn't consider playing in left field and us going to sign a first baseman at some point. Explain to me, if left field is a break,
right?
I don't understand it. The other thing is God bless JT Realmuto, and I know there was a report, I think, from Scott Lauber that both sides were thinking about an extension. You can't give JT Realmuto an extension. You can't. There was a time where he was unquestionably the best catcher in baseball. He's not anymore. He's top 10, but he's not the best catcher in baseball. Well, he is.
Not even top 5?
I don't think so. He is a good catcher, but there is, if you're going to get that kind of production out of JT Realmuto, mm-hmm. if you're going to get, is he going to be like a 705 OPS guy? Then I'd rather spend no money on the catcher, or spend limited money on the catcher, have a good defensive catcher back there, and go spend the money elsewhere on somebody that's going to be more effective.
Who's our young
on offense.
Guy?
The guy who played last year. But he's always
not
hurt.
Stubbs. Yeah.
Marshawn. Yeah. He's always hurt, though. He's always hurt. So I guess they can't give him an extension. Schwarber is a different story. Schwarber is a free agent after this year as well, and I'd certainly be willing to listen on Schwarber, but
sure.
I don't think Real
Madrid. Because he can always be a DH.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So there's that. It's just like, I don't know. And the whole, I understand pacing yourself, but one of the problems I had last year is that I don't think the manager is a guy who can wake them up.
Right.
And maybe it'll be easy. They searched for months to regain whatever spark they had at the beginning of the year, and they couldn't find it. Some of it may have been due to, I mean, Ranger not being any good the last couple months of the year certainly hurt.
Well, they got off to such a hot start, you know, that was obviously going to be hard to sustain. But I know how, remember last year, that's all they kept talking about was getting to the World Series, losing to Arizona here just didn't sit well with them. And I think that's what their focus was early in the season. That's how they came out, like gangbusters.
They talked about winning the division a lot, too. That was on their mind, too.
Yes, wanting to win the division, exactly. They talked about doing that. And then it seemed like we came back from London, everything just went away.
Yes. I remember, to me, the time when I started worrying was... It was the A's series before the All-Star break.
Yep.
And that last game, they lost like 21-3 or something. And there was just something about that series.
I mean, didn't Bryce play in that series?
He did.
Because he wanted to play in the All-Star game.
Yes. Yeah. And he is a guy who at this point in his career, he's had so many nagging injuries, back stuff, elbow stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He is a guy who has to maybe take 30 games off a year.
Yeah.
And coming back early from an injury, I think it was a hamstring.
Yeah.
So you can play in the All-Star game is not the right decision at this point. You know?
I did want to see him finally.
I know. We had that.
In an All-Star.
We had that. We'll do that again, I'm sure, this year.
I wanted to see him in an All-Star game in a Philadelphia uniform.
It's just like I look at the...
We finally saw it in 5 years.
Devin was mentioning the underdog thing. They have the third highest payroll in baseball. Like,
you're not the underdogs. you're not underdogs.
I want to believe in them. They have enough talent to get in the playoffs and make noise for sure. But they are, for me, going to have to prove all of those things that they said in those exit interviews, specifically that Rob Thompson said about the approach at the plate, about willingness, this willingness to change, willingness to play other positions, willingness to bat in other spots of the batting order. You know, Bryce willing to hit second, Schwarber willing to hit cleanup, Trey, you know, has to take some pitches and get on base if he's a leadoff hitter. To me, it's not about their talent. It is about their approach to winning, which I think at times, and this sounds harsh, was selfish last year and has been selfish. And if what is most important to you is winning, then you have to let those things go, I think.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking news.
I don't even know what this is.
Per the Eagles Twitter account, Kevin Petullo has been named offensive coordinator.
Ooh.
You have a show all lined up.
Hey, I tell you, it saves a lot of people. Now let's talk. Let's talk Petullo in there.
They didn't interview one guy.
As nor should they.
They definitely, this is, I'm not saying it's a mistake to hire Kevin Petullo. Mm-mm. You have to interview other guys. You can't just be strong-armed by the coach wanting his guy to be offensive coordinator. You win the, I'm glad he won the Super Bowl. I think Nick's a great head coach. Yeah. How do you not do your due diligence and talk to, where is he going to go? He's not going to go anywhere.
Who?
Kevin Petullo. Oh. Like, how do you not make the guy wait a couple of weeks and talk to people who are out there? This is ridiculous.
Well, here's how they don't do it. And quite frankly, I'm glad they did this now. because we would have continued to discuss this and what the possibilities and what they were going to do and whether or not they were undecided, who's in charge, who gets the final say, all these other things. That as long as this lingered out there and there wasn't an OC named, this thing would have had a snowball effect. What this says to me is that everybody's on the same page. So they could go ahead and make this decision. Nick Sirianni spoke on behalf of Kevin Petullo, and he spoke glowingly about him. So he certainly is a trusted associate to Nick Sirianni. You know, Kevin Petullo spoke at the Super Bowl about how much he desired this opportunity and would love to have this opportunity. And it shows growth within your staff. And let me just say this, and this is me saying this without – I don't want to paint a picture that Howie Roseman may have had a different idea of what he wanted to do. So we don't even have to do this whole, there was a struggle and Nick Sirianni won. All I know is Nick Sirianni vouched for the guy and wanted the guy in there. And it doesn't seem like the Eagles objected very much. It seems like they were okay with whatever selling point, whether it was Nick selling him, whether it was Kevin Petullo selling himself, or how about this? The fact that they've gotten a chance to watch him coach and they know intimately what his impact is and what it would be moving forward, they were perfectly fine with this hire. Maybe this was the succession plan the entire time, and that's why it got out there. So I'm not going to act as if this was some sort of rift that was won by Nick Sirianni. What it seems to me, being how quickly it came together, is that everybody was on the same page as far as who would take over if Kellen Moore left. And I like that. That's the part that I like, that it seems like everybody is in agreement. And listen, if it doesn't work, then they'll move. They'll do what they have to do from that point. But I'd rather have this than there be some slight feelings, you know, ill feelings, because Nick Sirianni didn't get the guy that he believed should have been his next offensive coordinator. I love the move. Love the move, and I hope it works out. I don't know Kevin Petullo very well. I mean, other than
we can't know.
Yeah, so I can't sit here and tell you what he's going to mean to the offense or what have you. I'm just saying it seems like to me, and I like it, that it happened quickly, which means everybody was on board with it.
215-592-9494. The Eagles have named Kevin Petullo offensive coordinator. He was previously the pass game coordinator, was that
correct?
The,
yeah,
the pass game coordinator this past year. Nick Sirianni did endorse him quite heavily. Petullo did campaign for it when asked quite heavily. What do you think of the hire? Here is where I am on the hire. We can't know. We're not in the meeting rooms. We're not on the field. We don't hear what they're saying. We're not in the interviews. None of that. So I don't want to say that I think this is a bad hire. I don't know if it's a bad hire. I don't know if it's a good hire. We'll see what kind of hire it is. But what I do know is they didn't interview anybody else. And I just can't imagine you can have a position this important on a football team. By the way, the most important thing for the Philadelphia Eagles moving forward for this offensive coordinator is maximizing Jalen Hurts, maximizing what they can get out of Jalen Hurts. And for you to not talk to anyone in the NFL who is not an offensive coordinator. So we're talking about the people who are not hired right now, the quarterback coaches across the league. If for no other reason than to get information out of those people about what they think, ideas they may have, like I this just feels like a team smelling their own farts a little bit. And well, when you think about, well, it's just like, look at how great we are. We don't even need to talk to anyone. I just like you. I would imagine you can talk to, you can interview anybody in the NFL who is not already an offensive coordinator. Anybody below that position has the opportunity to interview for one of those jobs. We're not talking about, it's not in June with the season a month away. So all of these guys are available to talk about this. I just don't know. And look, I mentioned Josh McCown. I think Josh McCown would have been a great candidate. He's interviewed for head coaching positions before. I'm not saying they needed to hire that guy, but I just find it crazy that you can make a hire of this importance without interviewing anybody. Again, two reasons. One, let somebody come in here and blow your mind and say, we really need to think about this guy. Or you get information on this guy if the Petullo hire doesn't work out in a year. You have more information. So one, let somebody try to shock you. Two, get information about what other teams think of your players and your team. I can't believe that they would have done interviews without us knowing, right? We would have known
hell,
about
the season
it.
Season just ended.
Yeah, it would have been leaked.
Unless they did all Zoom interviews.
And Howie is a great general manager, but he is not infallible. He had every coordinator that he's hired has not worked out. Every player that he's drafted has not worked out. Every player that he's hired has not worked out. There's just no reason. I just can't imagine that there's any reason. Like, the Kellen Moore's got to hire Nussmeier, right? Mm-hmm. There's no other jobs in the league that Kevin Petullo can interview you for. So what are we scared of? Tell him to sit tight. We're going to have some conversations. I don't know how they don't do that.
Yeah, because they know this is the guy they wanted.
How could they know if they didn't talk to anybody else?
Well, because he's been here and they're looking at what they want to do moving forward, how they want to do that. And I'm telling you, making this move the way they did it, this was already a part of the plan. Like, they knew Kellen Moore was a likely head coaching
weeks ago. Camp.
Yes, they knew that. So they got a sense of that. So they didn't get caught out here with their pants down, for lack of a better way to sort of explain that. They were ready for this. And so they had to have started having these conversations internally as to what they wanted to do and whether they wanted to go outside the organization and look for some other people. And here's the other thing. They still going to have to hire somebody, right, to fill Kevin Petullo's last spot, I would imagine.
Sure, but you can't go
to Neusmeyer's position.
For sure, but the number of people you can talk to for those positions is more limited, right? Because it can't be a lateral move from one team to another.
Let me throw this at you, because this is what I've been thinking about.
All right.
You make Petullo the OC.
Yep.
You bring in a veteran like Frank Reich.
But to be quarterback coach or something?
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll work out great for Kevin Petullo the first time the Eagles don't pass the ball well.
Together before, I believe. I think Petullo worked under Frank Reich as well.
But Frank Reich didn't work under Kevin Petullo.
I understand it, but I'm saying in this business, this stuff happens. Like, this stuff happens. Now, listen, Frank Reich can stay sitting at home if he wants to. I'm just bringing it as a suggestion. If everybody was so concerned about having someone with experience there in that position, okay, well, if they bring in somebody with some experience to add to the offensive side of the football, I don't know, make him assistant head coach. I don't know, whatever position you want to give him. All right? You pay him a nice
advisor,
chunk of change.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever you want to give him. You give him a nice chunk of change, and he's part of the whole game planning thing. Like, he's part of it.
How do you not talk to anybody? Right? Like,
because we got the right guy right here.
Even me for this job, there's no way Rod didn't talk to anybody, right? Or wait a minute.
Well, he talked to me.
I just mean other people that have this job. He saw enough of Jack, and he was like, get Spike in there. Anybody. Right?
This is going to be a rough day for Jack.
Yeah. Trust me. This Kevin Petullo hire does not take Jack off the radar. It doesn't take Elliot off the radar. There is a bullseye for everyone. I want to be clear. And 215-592-9494, what do you think of the hire about Kevin Petullo as a new offensive coordinator? I want to be clear. I don't necessarily believe that hiring Petullo is a mistake. That's not what I'm saying. I do believe that it is a mistake not to talk to other potential hires. Right. I think it gives you the chance to have somebody wow you. It gives you more information on people that you're interested in the NFL. And it also gives you more information on what other teams think of your players. And I think that is more information. And I'm actually...
Who knows all that stuff better than Petullo?
To be honest with you, I am stunned that how Howie Roseman wouldn't interview anybody else. A guy who prides himself on knowing all of those things around the league, on having those great relationships that Elliot told me he had. How do you not get from a pro? It's not the hire I don't like. It is the process of the hire that bothers me.
Somehow this needs to go on my ledger for Insider of the Year.
Wait a minute. How?
Well, I got this right, and I got the Neusmeyer going with Kellen Moore, right?
Neither were reports.
Well, I'm just saying, though, but that's what I assume is going to happen.
We'll see if you get into the rankings today.
like a lot of people had those reports for what it's worth.
Hold on, yeah. Hold on, Buzz. I was first.
Insider of the Year isn't just following Jeremy Fowler on Twitter. You got to have a little more information than that.
I saw him say on ESPN, and therefore I'm reporting it
right.
Here.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. The Eagles hire Kevin Petullo as the new offensive coordinator. What do you think of the hire? And are you surprised / disappointed they didn't interview anyone? Jack and his lovely wife, Jill, had a new child, what, 2 months ago? Mm-hmm. Something like that?
Sutton!
And Sutton was born a couple months ago. He took 1 week of paternity leave.
Sutton Baker. Yes, right.
Took 1 week, very baseball name, by the way. Very baseball name. Took 1 week of maternity leave right after the regular season. Is taking another week of maternity leave now. Now, when we didn't have Jack last time, mm-hmm. you know, artificial intelligence is getting better and better and better and better. So what we were able to do is feed everything we know about Jack into the AI program, and it spit out basically a Jack that will talk back to us as Jack, but 100% honest. So this honest Jack cannot lie. So honest Jack heard some of the show yesterday and heard me talking about regular Jack blocking me on Twitter. So Honest Jack wanted to do the top five at five today to clear up maybe some things. So Honest Jack is with us. Hey, Honest Jack.
Hey, Ike.
Hey, Honest Jack.
Honest Jack, I said hello. Oh, okay. I get it. He has me blocked on Twitter, and Honest Jack is not going to talk to me on the show, even though we have a three-person show. All right, I got it. Let's get to the top five anyway.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Jack Fritz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
Alike, since it's been a source of content for the show, which I am clearly creating while at home on my Phillies break, I figured I'd do the top five reasons I block Spike on Twitter.
Honest Jack, did you just call it, it's supposed to be paternity leave, did you just call it a Phillies break? Okay. He's doing it again. Ike, can you ask him why he called it a Phillies break, please?
Honest Jack, come on, man. Why did you call this a Phillies break instead of paternity leave?
Ike, the only host on this show besides me, I cannot tell a lie. I'm Honest Jack, not regular Jack. And since I have to be truthful, I'll just tell you, I did not take this week off to be a father. I took this week off to soak up the thirst of the start of Phil's season. So here we go. The top five reasons I blocked Spike on Twitter. Right. Honestly, number five, did you see the new Bryce photos at spring training? I'll be honest because I have to. He's looking beefy and handsome. Mommy tells me I'm the hottest boy, but I think Bryce is.
Okay. Honest Jack. That is, and I know you're being honest, but that is not a reason you blocked me on Twitter, Bryce Harper being hot.
Number four. Okay. When I was a kid, Mommy and Daddy told me I was the tallest, I was the smartest, and I was the funniest boy. The only boy. I'm still the only boy. The WIP Afternoon Show with Fritz, Jack, and Fritz.
Okay. Ike, you didn't even make it into the show name.
Wow.
Also, that has nothing to do with why you blocked me on Twitter, Honest Jack.
Number three on Honest Jack's reasons. Okay. I blocked Spike on Twitter. And it's true because I can't lie. Honest Jack's seed is strong. Honest Jack doesn't take Blue Chew. Blue Chew takes on Honest Jack. We're popping out kids like a factory over here.
Okay. That's not even what Blue Chew does. And none of this, Honest Jack, has anything to do with why you blocked me on Twitter.
Ike, I hope you're enjoying this. Being that you and Fran over there are the only ones I'm talking to.
Wow, me and Franny. I gotta tell you, Honest Jack, I really am enjoying this. It's pretty good.
Number two, on the top five reasons I blocked Spike on Twitter. I don't even know what paternity leave is, if I'm being honest, which I have to because I'm Honest Jack. When you have a baby, your wife does everything for the baby. Your mom cuts the lawn. Your dad turns the lights on and off when you walk into a room. Why would a father have to take time off after he has a baby? That's why you have a baby right around spring training, so you can look at pictures of the guys on Twitter.
Okay. Wow. Well, he is honest. At least he's being honest. Let's wrap it up, Honest Jack.
Never. Do you see how we're popping out kids over here?
All right. So I guess you do hear me then.
And the number one reason I blocked Spike on Twitter, Jalen Hurts isn't elite. He's not even a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. He's not even the best quarterback on the Eagles. I didn't enjoy that Eagles Super Bowl win for 1 second. Truthfully, which I always am, I stay up late at night crying, thinking about ways I can improve the Detroit Lions or the Commanders or the Chiefs or someone to beat the Eagles.
Oh, wow.
Please lose in free Honest Jack.
Are we done here?
All right, guys, we're done here. I'm the first person to say that. Got to go record my fourth High Hopes podcast of the day. Honest Jack, out.
Oh, wow. There he is.
Wow. Well,
now we know the truth.
I don't know if we wanted to know the truth, but yes. Yeah, Honest Jack. I tell you, that sounds like Honest. That sounds like Jack, honestly.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, how about let's wrap this up? And he says, never. Do you see we're popping kids out over here?
Popping kids out over here.
Honest Jack doesn't take Blue Chew. Blue Chew takes Honest Jack. That's what he said.
Come on there, Honest Jack.
Well, good job, Honest Jack. I can't wait till we get the real Jack back. But until then, Honest Jack, it's good to know what Honest Jack is really thinking. Though we did not get any of the reason why he blocked me on Twitter. He wouldn't even acknowledge me.
Mm-mm.
Unbelievable.
A lot of Phillies there, though.
A lot of Phillies.